Often, we as people take many things for granted. So many commodities wasted every single day without a single thought given to those in need. Today, I'll be interviewing my brother who has had an experience he'll never forget. From what I know, as a child, you lived in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And I was just wondering how that experience was for you as you were growing up.
It was nice. It was peaceful. You know? I mean, it was before the internet and, you know, a bunch of other distractions. But it was definitely peaceful. We didn't have a lot of money. But, you know, as kids, you know, you didn't really know. So it didn't really bother you. The only thing was that mom and dad would be working a lot, more so dad, and I wouldn't really see him at all, except for, I think he had off on Saturdays, so we didn't spend a lot of time with him except for like 20 minutes in the morning when he woke us up, and then Rich and I went to the bus stop, went to school, and that was that.
What made it so fun living in Connecticut?
Well, we lived in a house with two floors and a basement. We had a pretty big yard. From what I remember, we had a pretty big yard. But we, at first, Mom, Dad, and Rich and I lived on the third floor. And we had our second aunt and our smallest aunt and our oldest cousin live on the second floor, and we had another family living in the basement to help pay off the mortgage. So basically we had a whole bunch of people living in one house. It's pretty hectic, but for the most part, you know, everyone kept to themselves, so it was good. You know, we didn't really bother with each other too much, but you know, every day, from what I remember, every day was pretty fun until I started going to school. That sucked, but yeah, you know, it was a busy house. There was always something going on. So it was good to have family around. But at the same time, I'm sure the adults didn't really want to share their house with six other adults going in and out.
At one point, Mom and Dad moved down to Philadelphia to start a business. What did you think about that?
It sucked. Because I loved living in Connecticut. Even though we lived in a really shady part of town, but we still had the accessibility to go outside and play in our yard, and we had the accessibility to really see sunlight. And by that I mean, when we lived in a store, since we lived in such a terrible, very dangerous, drug-ridden, crime-ridden neighborhood, we couldn't go outside and play with our neighbors. And you know, we were really sheltered from that. And, you know, in this point in my life, if, you know, looking back, I would definitely trade everything I have now to go back living in a simpler time back in Connecticut, where we had a normal house and a normal yard and a normal driveway and a normal life. You know, even though there were much more better economic opportunities for our family here in Philadelphia, it just felt more like a family back in Connecticut. But I mean, economically, obviously, you know, it worked out well. We have cars. We have more than, you know, one and a half cars. We have computers and, you know, really almost anything that we need. I'm not saying we're rich now, but we're much better off than we were before. So in that sense, I see why Mom and Dad made that decision to pick up and move, especially when we were still young. But at the same time, you know, I don't know if I would have done it. You know, if it was my choice, I would still live back at home, even if we didn't have that much money.
And how much money did you guys actually have back in Connecticut?
Well, at one point, two of our cousins moved in. So we had two aunts, three cousins, my brother, Rich, myself, Mom and Dad living under one roof with another family living down in the basement. So it was really, really, really crowded. And to the point where I slept on the floor. I don't remember how long it lasted. It didn't really last very long. But needless to say, it was extremely crowded. And it wasn't fun. Because the cousins, since I was the youngest, the cousins would pick on me constantly. And would play with Rich and wouldn't play with me. And at that time, we didn't have you know, any toys to play with, can afford a whole bunch of toys or video games or anything. So I was just left alone to clip coupons with mom and one of our aunts and watch figure skating the whole time. And The Price is Right. They really like watching The Price is Right. So, you know, that's how I spent most of my childhood. I remember, you know, when mom took some time off from work to watch Rich and I, we would go to department stores. There was this store called Caldors. I don't remember if it was in Philly or not. But there was a store called Caldors that we went to. And she would bring us there for a couple hours to sit down in the toy aisle to play with stuffed animals or whatever toys that we could for a couple hours. And she would just sit there and watch us. And, you know, thinking back, that's like the saddest thing in the world. You know, as a mother, as a young mother, she had to be, what, mid to late 20s? You know, I'm sure it was really upsetting for her to not be able to afford something as simple as some toys. But, you know, during that time, it was really a trade-off of, you know, feeding your family and buying these material things. Now, Rich and I, we didn't really care because we had fun. You know, we were kids. We didn't really understand what was going on. But what we did know was that we didn't have money. And if we wanted something, you know, we would ask mom and dad if it was on sale or do we have coupons for it or how much money we can save. And, you know, mom always told us that we were really good at understanding our economic circumstance and not being one of those bratty kids that you see in the stores kicking and screaming because they can't get, you know, a toy or Mr. Potato Head or whatever, you know, they wanted. And, you know, we were good enough to understand and walk away and go home and be content with playing with some random toys in a department store for a couple of hours. So, you know, she would say that it really broke her heart. And you know, I can definitely understand that. That sucks. But she was grateful that we didn't cause a big commotion or give her any more added grief than she was putting on herself because, you know, we couldn't afford these little things that you know, normal, yeah, I would like to say normal children in America, middle-class America, take for granted every day.
So would you consider yourself middle-class now because of your experience in Philly?
Well, my experience here in Philly, when, you know, we started to have, I guess we can say we started to have more, our parents are making more money than they did back in Connecticut. You know, technically speaking, they probably made less per hour because they worked 12, 13 hour days. And, you know, they didn't have separate jobs. They were working together. But anyways, you know, that experience is weird because we would see them, but we wouldn't see them. You know, they were physically there, but they couldn't, you know, parent us almost. You know, they didn't really look after our schoolwork, one, because they didn't know how to, and two, because they didn't have the time. They were just constantly working. So Rich and I babysat you, mainly Rich, because he was older. I guess because we couldn't afford a babysitter, or, you know, they wanted to save money because they had to pay off a mortgage and run a business. So it was, you know, money was still tight. It was just until later, you know, maybe a couple years later where we started to really cross an economic boundary. And I started to begin to see, you know, the fruits of their labor where, you know, dad, I remember him buying a cell phone. That was unheard of. It was ridiculously expensive. It was like 25 cents a minute. It was ridiculous. You know, dad finally got a new car that he could use to move stuff around. We got a computer. I remember getting a computer for the first time. It was slow as heck compared to computers now, but it was really exciting. And, you know, we had a 56K modem. I don't even know what that is. Do you know what that is?
What?
56K modem? You don't even know what that is. Okay. It was dial-up internet. It was very, very slow, and you couldn't use it. And it shared a phone line, so you couldn't use it and use the phone at the same time. So if someone called, it would be a busy signal. You know, you can't make calls out. They'll be pissed off about that. But CDs came out, and, you know, dad bought a CD player, even though we still had our old stereo with the cassette tapes. DVD players came out. That was a big deal. I think there was something called VCDs. Remember VCDs? It was a big disc.
Really big disc.
You probably don't remember that either. Do you? I don't know. That thing didn't last very long. But these material things, these little material things that there was no way we could have afforded before, you know, we were, I saw it as splurging. You know, you were buying these unnecessary things that we definitely lived without before. So it was great to have all of that. It really was. You know, you start going into this 21st century life almost. But again, there's always a catch. There's always a trade-off. You know, mom and dad always worked. So them buying these things, they couldn't enjoy it. And it was almost a waste in my mind. But, you know, when I started to get a little older and the mom had you and Hannah, and you guys grew up in a totally different world, it seemed. And I'm only 7 years older than you. So, you know, I'm not that much older than you. It definitely was weird watching you and her grow up in a totally different lifestyle, totally different world. Here you have dad and mom at home, you know, and you see them, where I just barely saw dad. And, I mean, you know, you had Rich and I, we're older brothers, and you have computers, and you have the internet, and you have cable television, satellite television, you had cars, you had cell phones, you live in a totally streamlined world where you guys don't even go to libraries anymore. And Rich and I used to go to libraries, you know, after school or once a week at least, and go rent books, and it was fun, and it was a meeting spot. It was something that was cool almost. And now libraries are closing down because no one's using it. You know, it's silly. Where, you know, you guys find anything in an instant on the internet. And we didn't have it. We used encyclopedias and dictionaries that were hundreds and hundreds of dollars and thousands of pages thick. So not, it isn't just crossing an economic boundary where you see these material things. What that does is it changes one's whole perspective and one's whole lifestyle and essentially their personality. You know, people aren't as patient anymore. You know, you and Hannah aren't as patient as we were when we were younger. You know, you guys, I don't say you guys are spoiled, but you guys don't understand, you know, I guess from my perspective, you guys don't fully understand the value of a dollar as much anymore because we have more money than we did before. You know, you guys don't sit at home and clip coupons. You know, you guys just say, hey, dad, I need it. You know, can you order this for me? I need your credit card, or I'm just going online and buy this. You know, it's totally different. So, I don't know. You know, it's. Actually, I do know. It's definitely weird. I feel old, even though I'm only 23. I feel really old. I feel like I'm from a different time. But, you know, I know it's all for the better. You know, because without all of this, you know, I obviously can't say where I would be. But life is much better than it would have been back then, living in a house with 10 other people, you know, sharing one bathroom.
So if you had a chance, would you rather live in today's world with technology, or would you rather go back to a much simpler life, being at the age that you are, 23 years old?
I definitely would have enjoyed, you know, living back then, because I feel as if that because we take these things for granted, that we don't develop the necessary skills that we need to do research properly or to value things properly. Today, it's almost like as if we're so spoiled. You just get a really different perspective of life. I mean, I do see a disconnect with, I don't want to say reality, but there is a disconnect with valuing certain skills that you can only develop by literally, you know, using a library catalog. I don't know if you even know what that is. You know, a library catalog is not, you know, digitized. And sitting down and researching, you know, you take more pride in your work, you work harder, and, you know, you learn to be persistent and patient. And those are very, very valuable skills that I believe, you know, people who succeed in life have. I mean, it's always going to be like that. But if I had a choice, I would definitely go back. It just seemed much simpler and, for me as a kid, happier. Just out of ignorance. You know, ignorance being bliss.
And thank you. I really appreciate your time with me today.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay.